Okay, I'll use it. Hey, listen, you guys are in a treat for today. One, because you have a guy who's here who's a lot better looking than me. His beard is thicker, but not as long, and he's like 6 feet over my head. Dad did adjust the lights this morning, so that's good, so you'll be able to see his face, because if not, you won't. But hey, listen, this guy, his name's Jason. He's from Danville, Kentucky. He's my coach. He's my mentor. He's one of my spiritual fathers. Well, I consider him a spiritual father. I don't know if I ever told you that or not. That's big words.
Yoda, man.
Yeah. But hey, welcome, Jason. He's one of my good buds. He's my coach. He's like, if I have any issues, he's the one I call, and he goes, "Dude, it's okay. Just chill." All right, this is him. All right, hey, love you, boss.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. So I gotta be honest. I walked in here and I saw the guy, his dad, on the ladder adjusting lights. How cool, man! We're adjusting lights. It's getting exciting up here. Next thing I know, I asked Derek, I said, "You know why? Why were you adjusting lights?" He said, "Because you're tall." He said, "You're really tall." So I was like, this is funny. So that means next week when you preach, they gotta readjust them for short people. Y'all got some workers here, man. Good. Y'all give it up to the workers, man. That's some good stuff. I mean, what an awesome, some good worship right there. We should honor those guys, man. Thank you so much. That is some good stuff. I mean, he was singing. He just said, "I'm singing my guts out." And I look at his face, and he is pouring in sweat. I think he is sweating his guts out, more like, you know. So, man, we're excited to be here. We've been on like a small tour of Kentucky / North Carolina / Florida / a little bit everywhere for the past couple of weeks. We served over in Camp Caswell as missionaries, and then we drove down to see your dad, hung out with some church planters, and now we're back up here getting ready to head home. So this is the end of our little run for vacation, and we're excited to be here this morning with you. If you're new here, man, I promise you the real pastor, this guy, short guy, will be here in a couple of weeks. I'm sorry, you'll hear that a lot today, little puns there. But more than likely, you know, like you said, man, we always compare beards. And so his beard, I aspire to have that big, full, long beard. But, man, mine's just tight and right because I hate all the little squiggly things out this thing. I trim them up, and so I keep it tight and right. My wife likes to, you know, do this, and she doesn't like all that stuff. So, you know, I oil and groom it, and it keeps it nice. And I was not talking about beards today, I promise you. But since you got me going, you know, I'm just kidding. But yeah, we love Brittany and Derek and just what they're doing as they're just on mission for God. Yeah, we can clap about that, man. Here's what my wife and I know. We've been doing this now for about a decade and just pouring life into churches and planners and people. And literally, when you do this, when you say, "God, use me," when you say, "Use me," you better be ready. Or we say, "Yes, Lord," okay? The Bible says, "Yes, Lord." And when you say that, you don't know the fullness of what's coming. Because Satan will use every tactic under his umbrella to trip you up. As in the Bible says in John 10:10, it says, he will come to steal, kill. Come on, y'all use the same Bible I got, right? So it says he will come to steal, kill, and... Come on now, church. Steal, kill, and... And if we just allow them to have the microphone for about 10, 15 minutes, they can their testimony, right? In my Bible, it also says in Revelation, it says, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony will allow people to hear the gospel. And it also kicks Satan right back where he belongs, in hell, because he decided to make it about him and not about him. Anybody with me this morning? And so I just want to give honor where honor's due to Brittany and Derek, because I know the journey, and here's the beautiful side about this. You guys are a part of it. Thank you for being a part of it. Thank you for being here. Thank you for diving in and fanning their flame, like 2 Timothy talks about. They're fanning that flame, and they need you. They pray over them, and we're going to talk about prayer in a way today that hopefully allows you to see purpose, okay? We're going to allow us to just dive into this. I know you've been in this sermon series about purpose, and hopefully it will be today a day that the Lord has made, but more importantly, that you see that purpose allows us to dive into prayer, and you'll see purpose dive into you. And if we do that well, we can change what our kingdom looks like. We can change what South Knoxville looks like. We can actually change, if you believe... In prayer, you can change the world, is what Jesus said. And so if we know that and we know the truth, and my Bible is not the Forrest Gump quote, it's the truth will set you. Come on, anybody with me this morning? Anybody want to be free? All right, let's dive in. So I believe somebody today is going to get healed. Got one person with me. And he's the guy in control of the microphone, so he can shut me off anytime he wants to. And he's, but I do believe that. Here's why I know that, because when we started in our volunteer time this morning, they said, can we do something different? And I'm sitting there going, oh, this is going to get good. This is going to be interesting. What's about to happen? And so he goes, can we just spread out? Can we just spread over the whole place? And can we just like pray over the chairs? Can we pray over kids' area? Can we pray over the front of the doors? Can we just pray over the bathrooms? You know? And I'm like, okay, name of the, that's stinky. But we can pray all that out of here, right? We can pray. And so we start praying. I'm like, I know they know we're talking about prayer, and maybe they're just fanning my flame. That's kind of narcissistic to think about, but this is what I do believe is maybe God has something in store for you who sits here if you're ready to receive. If you're ready to listen. The Bible says that if those who have ears to hear, let them. And so if we do that well today, I believe somebody's ready to be healed. You just got to be ready. You got to be open to what the Holy Spirit's trying to do. And when we allow that to transform our lives, gosh, that's what gets me fired up. It's not that Red Bull that I just drank. It is literally the Word of God moving in you. And when we do that, oh man, that's what Kingdom Come looks like. That's what prayer can do for us. And Jesus literally asked the paralyzed man in John chapter 5, verse 6, he says this way, he said, do you want to be healed? And so can I just ask that to you as we just dive in? Do you want it? Come on, shift. Do you want it? Do you really want to see the ground shake? Like it says in Acts? Because if you do, it's gonna make you uncomfortable. Come on, if we know anything about truth, it will allow us to feel tension in the room because it makes us kind of uncomfortable. It puts us in that spot of, is this really real? Or is this really God? Or is this a preacher from Kentucky that just is kind of bald and loud with a good-looking beard? One or the other. I'm going to lean on God's word, y'all, every single day because it says in the book, right? It says all other ground is sinking sand. I'm going to build my house on this, and I'm going to trust in this, and I'm going to pray prayers literally like he asked us to. And if we do it, man, we're going to stand on solid ground. So that's my prayer as we get going, that we dive into his word and we stand on solid ground together and we watch literally people's lives change and be healed today. The other part of that is I think a lot of people play the church game. Real quickly, we dive into this idea of church, and we're like, we've been saved, but here's the other thing about being saved. I don't know a lot of people have been set free. Because you just keep on coming in, and it's great music, and there's nothing wrong with the music, and sometimes there's nothing wrong with Derek's preaching occasionally. But the truth is, it's like, you know, if we only be set free, it's like the guy, you know, the blind guy, you can't shut up about it. You can't shut up about like what God's doing in your life. There's those who are in the volunteer meeting, you know, because you can't stop talking about Christ in you, and you're going to be literally a disciple maker everywhere you go, work and live and play. And you'll be talking about it at the barbershop more often. 45-minute haircuts into 2-hour haircuts. You'll talk about it at your work and in an atmosphere that's sometimes not, you know, ready. You'll talk about it to people who are not even of our faith. You know, are you religious, right? You'll talk about it because you just trust and you're walking in obedience in prayer and asking God just to give you the right person to talk to today. And this is what I do know about the Word, is when we pray, it's literally like he's right here with us. It's just right. He's right here. He's not like to the cosmos, God, up in the sky, wherever thou art. Hear my voice. Oh, he's right here in the whisper. He's right here. And if we can get that down, it's going to change somebody's life today. I was, like I said, we just got back from Fort Myers, and that's where her father lives, and so we visit there often. Some people are like, did you move to Florida? Yeah, we actually, you know, sort of do on occasion, maybe 4 times a year, you know, and we just enjoy the beach. And this past week, we were at the beach, and you know how those thunderstorms come up all of a sudden at the beach, and you think, since we're from Kentucky and Tennessee, we think, oh, it's like one of those storms. They just pass on by. No, these storms are like, you know, and anybody know what I'm talking about? Like, and like the locals like, hey, you better get out of here. Like, and we're like, no, it's just a little storm. It'll pass by. And like, this is the storm, like the mother storm. I felt at this moment when I knew I was in the wrong is like the animals were lining up 2 by 2 to get out of there. I knew something was wrong, but we had just walked over almost a half a mile or longer to get to the spot. And we planted our, you know, the tent and everything, and you know, the umbrella, and we had chairs, we had backpacks, we had 4 kids, M&Ms. You know, we got 4 beautiful kids over there, and it's because I love my wife. You know, it's just those moments. You got that one. You know, but I can't keep her off of me. You know, it's just sorry. The real Peter will be back next week, I promise. But the truth is, like, you know, that storm came out of nowhere. It came out of nowhere, and it literally dumped water, and it started blowing hard. And my wife took the middle kids, and they took off running. And my youngest, I was like, he'll never make it. He just needs to stay here with me. And so he's just like, you know, we're under the umbrella, and I mean, the wind started blowing, and the next thing you know, the light just started coming, and it got closer and closer. I was like, you know, this is not good. This is not going to end well. Derek's going to have to find somebody else to preach because we're going to struck by lightning. And next thing I know, man, I was just like, okay, I preach it. I'm going to preach on it on Sunday. And my son, older son, was there, and he was holding the umbrella. He had his goggles on. It was funny, man. And we're the only people out there. That dude's from Kentucky. And I said, God, Yahweh. And my son started to hear me crying out. He started paying attention to prayer, and he started praying. And I just started praying, God, help us. He hears even the smallest prayers, y'all. Hey, can you just shut this down? Can you just turn the water off for like 35, maybe, you know, 5 minutes so we can make a run for it? Because I don't think the youngest want to make it over the lagoon. You had to cross the lagoon to get to where we're going. So, I mean, like, you know, I was just afraid. Lightning, you know, not lightning runs. It just everywhere, right? It's going to get everybody. I was fearful. I'm just being honest. Just because I'm a pastor doesn't mean I can't be honest. And in that moment, I started crying out to God, God, help us. I need some help here because I've got 2 young kids and my wife, I don't even know where she's at. If she made it back to the car or not. And the funny thing is I had the keys. You know, and then I had her cell phone. Just how things work. And we were just stuck in that uncommunication. So you borrowed somebody else's phone. I wasn't answering mine because I couldn't hear it because of the lightning. And then my daughter sees the lightning bolt come right where we were sitting almost. And it really was. It was like, you know, maybe 100 yards off where we were sitting. And then it just went, it was like Thor showed up, y'all. And lightning was, and I was like, I'm down, I'm out. And we just took off running. And it's like God got my undivided attention in that moment. You're about to preach on something you're not ready for. You're about to preach on something you're not ready for. He said, do you really believe in the power of prayer? I said, yeah, God, I do. Now here I am just, you know, walking at that point. I took my sandals off and I was like, so be it. Your will be done. If you want me here, if you want me there, your will be done. I stopped running, and I started walking. And at that point, I just walked across, and I don't ever remember another lightning bolt at that moment. I don't remember even the rain. It sort of just sort of paused and allowed me to get to where I needed to go and allowed Maximus and my son Matthias to get where they needed to be. And I just sort of sat there and watched the rest of the storm just move off the shore. And it literally did. I mean, it was pouring rain on both sides, but it stopped where we were at simply because I pushed pause, and I listened to the Father. You see, it's like the purpose of a rubber band. You know, if you have a rubber band and play with it, there's not much purpose in that. The only time it's the purpose is when it does this. When it gets what? You can set it all day. It looks like a nice little bracelet. I mean, I got two of them here. You know, you can use them to flick people with. I can come up with all kinds of good things to do with these. Some of them will hurt. But the purpose is to what? And the funny thing is the more it stretches, the more what? It holds and it becomes bigger and bigger. Until it gets to the point, what? It breaks. But you, even when it breaks, I mean, it can get really big. Even when it breaks, though, God's completely, what, in control of it. And it can conform to different shapes and sizes and everything else, and it just literally will do exactly what you ask for. But if you only do that, if it only is that, then what good is it? See, I think that's what our prayer life is for. I think it's designed to stretch us, to mold us, to put us in positions where we completely feel the tension of what God's trying to do with us this morning. You know, I've learned this over time, and maybe you've heard this. Mark Batterson, a writer, a pastor, you know, he's a great author. He said this in one of his books, The Circle Maker. If you're taking notes, by the way, you know, it says in Scripture 73% of all people that take notes get into heaven. So I would encourage you to do that. It's in Romans something, you know, I'm sure you can find it. Paul talked about everything, so take notes. But like, bold prayers honor God, right? Anybody ever heard this? Bold prayers honor God, and God honors bold prayers. Mark Batterson says this often. He says, bold prayers honor God, and God honors bold prayers. So why are we praying about the colds? Why are we praying about the little things when he wants us to talk about the big things? Why are we just asking, oh, pray for little Timmy who's got a little sniffle? Hey, come on. God already knows the little sniffle's going to be healed. Can we talk about the man in the corner who's asking for the prayer, who needs to have some true life change? Maybe it's your barber. Maybe it's the guy you talk to. Maybe it's your mother-in-law. Come on, mother-in-law. Right? Maybe it's somebody in your family who needs Jesus. Maybe it's you, if you're just completely honest, because you know the language. I've heard it said of dozens of different ways, but you know, 18 inches separates heaven and hell from here to here. A lot of people know it, but they don't know it. And I want you to be stretched. I want you to be stretched beyond going back to that little small circle. I want big, bold prayers that literally God sees, hears, believes, and wants to see you move forward in your faith. In Matthew 6, 19 through 13, his disciples literally saw him heal what? People. They watched him raise dead. They watched Jesus do all this stuff. But the one thing that they asked for, they didn't ask, Jesus, I'm going to be honest, Jesus, that water into wine prayer is amazing. Could you teach us how we're going to be the life of the party? I mean, on Friday nights? Come on, you can just sort of see the disciples. Hey, teach us how to do that. Hey, teach us how to heal the blind man. Hey, teach us how to heal the paralyzed man. Hey, teach us how to... No, they asked for one thing. What did they ask for? Teach us how to... Isn't that interesting? Out of all the things they could have asked for, they asked for to teach us how to pray. And he goes, well, this is easy. Start off with your father. Hey, who are you talking to? Is he your father, or is it just somebody like the religious zealots of the time, and even in our time, babble so much about, oh God, oh Father, oh, but I'm talking like East Tennessee now. But you know those, you know what I'm talking about. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? We call out Daddy, Abba, to make it sound cool. But when he's really asking us to be quiet, go to our prayer closet and just, hey, talk to me. Talk to me like right here. And if we can do that well, you will change not who you are, but you'll change the things around you. Billy Graham, anybody know that guy? Well, I mean, he's dead now, but his legacy lives on. But he said it this way. Billy Graham said, true prayer is a way of life, not just for use in case of emergencies. So make it a habit, and when need arises, you will be in practice. I'm like, come on, Billy Graham. Right? You have anybody who knows who Lisa Turquoise is? Great author. If you don't know who she is, look her up. She's got all kinds of podcasts. She's a great communicator of the gospel. She says it this way. The reality is, my prayers don't change God. She says, my prayers don't change God, but I am convinced prayer changes me. Praying boldly boots me out of the state place of religious habits into an authentic connection with God himself. Come on, women preachers. Didn't say pastors, say preachers, communicators, right? I don't want to step on that. Well, that's another one. Derek can handle that one. Got you in trouble. Told you shouldn't ask me. Martin Luther, anybody know who he is? He stapled some things up on a wall and said, this is what it's about. He said it this way, to be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. I was like, wow. Well, that's some bold statements right there. But let me give you the boldest one that I found about prayer. Does anybody know Leonard Ravenhill? If you don't, write his name down. Look him up. Dude, born like 1900s, died in like 94. Don't quote me on that one. But he was from England and he moved to Texas. Like, I don't know how you do that, but like, he did it. And then he changed the format of what Texas looked like. I think the reason why Texas is today, everybody wants to move to Texas right now, right? Anybody? Okay. Yeah. The truth is, I think Leonard had a lot to do with it. I think the way he prayed, the way he said, you know, this is how it is, and this is the truth. And like, he literally got so focused on God during a sermon and preaching to mass of pastors, like he just called them out in prayer, and he saw revival break out in a bunch of pastors, and he couldn't even finish the sermon, and he was only 15 minutes into it. People were weeping and coming forward and asking for healing and saying, I need Jesus. And this is one of his statements during that moment. He said, no man is greater than his prayer life. The pastor who is not praying is playing. Derek? The people, y'all agreed to that one. So, the people who are not praying are straying. This guy's a poet and he didn't even know it. We have many organizers, but few agonizers. We want to organize all kinds of things, but we don't agonize in our heart. Many players, but not many payers. Few prayers, many singers, few clingers. Lots of pastors, but few wrestlers. Many fears, but few tears. Much fashion. Again, this is coming out in 1940, y'all. Much fashion, but little passion. Many interferers, but few intercessors. Many riders, but few fighters. We're failing here, God. We are failing everywhere, God. Leonard Ravenhill. And I'm sitting there going, man, if this one guy who gets it, he got it. Because the fundamental base of that could change everything is literally developed through our communicator, through prayer, our communication through prayer. Remember the rubber band? How have you been praying? Or is it just the daily routine at 12 o'clock? Rub-a-dub, God, thank God for the grace. Amen. Do you wake up and just say, God, bless this day? Amen. Or you say the prayer at nighttime, Lord, lay me down to sleep. Through my soul to keep. It's a scary prayer, by the way. Think about it. Go read it. But what is it? Or are you in communication with him daily and you're asking for the favor of God to be on you and allowing prayer to change you? Mark 9 is one of the most interesting prayers that come forth, but it's not, you can't even see the prayer. That's the beautiful side about this. They don't record the prayer, but Jesus actually takes a prayer and moves it forward. And here's what happened in Mark 9, a little background story. Jesus comes upon the scene, and all of a sudden he sees teachers and people arguing back and forth, and Jesus walks into it and says, what's going on? All of a sudden Jesus becomes the center of attention, which he should be, by the way. And then the next thing you know, the just life starts to happen, and this man comes forward to ask for help with his son. He comes forward to ask. He said, listen, my son is just, this is what's going on, and it's been years of just anguish and just convulsing and just like all kinds of things, and this is what's going on with my son. And then in verse 19, he says it this way. He says, oh man, y'all, Jesus just drops the ball on all of them. He says, you unbelieving generation. You unbelieve. What are you doing? Like, you know you can do this. You know how to pray. I've taught you this. You've been listening to me. You're coming to me now. Why can't you do this? You unbelieving generation. And then all of a sudden it drops into the portion that I really want to attack this morning. So if you got your Bible, read it behind me. But Mark chapter 9, verses 23 and following, says, what do you mean? Right? This is Jesus firing it back. Because the guy said, can you help? Right? In verse 22. He said, can you help? And Jesus, what do you mean, if I can? Come on, I just turned water into wine. I've healed people. I've done this. I've even walked on water. Ask Peter. He sunk. You know, he's like, literally, I've done all this, and here you come at me. What do you mean? I would love to have been there and record that on TikTok. You know, that would have been like a funny right there moment of all epic moments right there. What do you mean, if I can? Jesus responds, or Jesus asks. Anything is possible if a person, what? What was it, church? And so we know what that believe means. It's not just something we believe in that the chair is holding you up. It's really the belief of knowing that God is God. It's who he says he is. It's the great I am, right? It's who you say I am. And if we know who he is, he's the one who gives us life, gives us breath, gives us everything. Why aren't we asking in that name? And so the father instantly cried out, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. And this is what I know about this. There's a lot of you know who the Father is and you believe, but I'm going to be honest. You pray prayers that you don't even believe it could be answered. You say things that you, God help her with the cancer. Ringing a bell, anybody? Hey, God help her with this. I just talking to Derek and the situation with their family and the situation with their baby, and I just heard the moment right there, and he just told me a little bit before we walked in. He said, you know, I don't know if I can just say this, and you know, can I say that? And he just simply said, you know, the doctor simply said, hey, we don't have answers for this, but can I tell you, I have been praying intimately with this dude for literally months over his son, asking for favor, asking for the favor of God to be over him, and that when it happens, that there's nobody else to point at except God. And the doctor says the other day, I don't know if you believe in this, but we ain't got nothing other than God did this. And Derek starts smiling. It's like, yeah, I know. Help me overcome my unbelief. And so verse 25, it says, when Jesus saw that the crowd and onlookers were all growling and growing and just moving towards him, you know, he rebuked the evil spirit. Listen, you spirit that makes this boy unable to hear and speak. He said, I command you. Now check that out. I command you. I command, that hurts. I command you to come out of this child and never enter him again. And then all of a sudden the spirit screamed and threw the boy into another violent convulsion and left him. Now I know we grew up and we, you know, let's just be honest, this culture that we have in America, we've seen a lot of these things on TV and maybe in a church, maybe you grew up in a church experience where people all of a sudden start shaking, they fall down, they cover up the courtesy cloth. Be careful with that courtesy cloth. You know, at that moment, they just, and sometimes we see it and we say, is it what? I'm preaching on a Sunday, ain't I? And the truth be told, a lot of us have what? What was that? Doubt, yeah. We also have what? Questions. And you want to know why the culture really doesn't buy into what Jesus did? Because they've never seen anything like that before. And it happened then, it's happening now. And I'm telling you, when you command in the name of Jesus, it will come out no matter what it is. But you got to believe it. And when he did it, what did it say it did at the very end? It left him. I'm telling you. When was the last you commanded cancer to leave versus praying over it? When was the last time you commanded your marriage to be healed versus we pray over a marriage? When was the last time you commanded that your finances be straight with God versus God help me win the lottery tomorrow? Hey man, come on. I got one person. You know I'm speaking truth because you're laughing about it. It's like that uncomfortable moment. Is he funny? But it's real. If you command in the name of Jesus and it's going to be in his name only, come on, it's going to happen because you trust on him and him alone. And then it says the boy appeared dead. A murmur ran through the crowd, and as people said, he's dead. You know why? You know why? Because when Jesus literally rocks you, new life in you. And it takes a second to acclimate to something new, doesn't it? You're almost like, what just happened? All of a sudden, it's like, you know, if you've ever seen Shaquille O'Neal in that moment. I mean, I can just picture it, like, just laying there and all of a sudden, you just sort of see life come to him. And the murmur's like, oh, he's dead! He killed him! Jesus killed him! But the truth be told, no, he didn't kill him. He became alive. He put new life in him and commanded the old to what? Leave. And in verse 27, it says, but Jesus took him by the hand. Isn't that funny how Jesus always does that? Even the woman at the well. Those who have what? Sin, cast the first stone. You with me? And then we're chasing rabbits now, but that's the truth. You know, and all of a sudden you hear stones dropping everywhere, but you don't see any stones dropping. You see them dropping, but not dropping after that person. I made that word up, it's from Kentucky. And literally you don't see any of that, but what you see is Jesus kneeling down, picking her up by the hand, and saying, come on. Going what? Sin no more. And Jesus took him up by the hand and helped him to his feet and stood up. In verse 28, it says, afterwards, when Jesus was alone in the house with his disciples, they asked him, here's the question, y'all. Pull my pants up for a second. Breathe deep. Here we go. Why couldn't we cast out the evil spirit? Jesus, we followed you. We've watched you. We've memorized half the Bible. We even know John 3:16, God. Hey, man, I even blessed the food. I did everything. We even know how to pray the prayer. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. They knew the whole prayer. They knew everything. But it says, why couldn't we do this? I can almost see Peter up in the corner going. He's mad. I mean, he's mad about everything, right? He just walks angry. Right? Because angry people do stupid things. That's how I know that. Because he's the first person to jump out of the boat. I mean, he realized, well, I'm walking on water. Then he got fear in his mind, and anger started coming over because he couldn't do it on his own. He had to look at Jesus first. Some of you think you can do things on your own, but you haven't trusted Jesus first. So you just go to church. A lot of them are just going to church. How do I know that? Because you look at the back of Matthew, the very last thing, even on the mountain when he's sitting there praying, and he's like, hey, go and make disciples of all nations. It says right before, it says, instill some unbelief. Now, I don't know which disciple it is. I got my guesses, but I even got my guesses in this room. Some of us unbelief. Why couldn't we cast out the evil spirit? Jesus says, replies, this kind can be cast out only by what? Doesn't say what type of prayer, does it? Did you see the prayer anywhere in the whole sentence, in the whole chapter? But my guess is Jesus paused, was quiet, and he whispered, Father, you will be done. I cast him out in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Matter of fact, I'm right here right now, so come on, get out. And I command you to get out. I don't think anybody heard the prayer. They're so busy looking for the big show. Yet he's sitting there whispering quietly, causing tension in the room. You see, I think the purpose of prayer is to change lives, starting with you. I think the purpose of prayer is to change lives, starting with you. See, why don't we care about prayer? I mean, why do we care about prayer in school, but we don't pray in our homes? We fight. Oh, we should be praying in school, right? But we're not praying at home. And why do we complain about National Day of Prayer in the White House, but don't meet up in this house to pray? And I'm causing tension. Why do we lean in to only the pastors praying on Sunday when we have access on Monday? Why are we leaning on Derek and Brittany to pray for us when we had the same access to command the things that shouldn't be there on Tuesday? I'm asking, church. Come on, Shift. Why? You see, when Jesus has access to change, he changes atmospheres. And access changes atmospheres. You see, the reason why the boy changed, because Jesus had access right there on that moment, and he changed the whole thing. And if you're taking notes, here they are, 1, 2, and 3. What you allow in will change you. What you allow in will change you. Number two, what you allow in will change the things around you. Number three, and what you allow in will change the lives beside you. See, over the past 16 to 18 months, we've been in this COVID fog, right? But what have you allowed in? Because you have the power to command it out. Why is it that marriages are failing at a super high rate? Why are kids' depressions going off the charts? Why are all these things happening in our culture and our time? Because the Christians, the church, are not commanding the things that should be happening, because we have the power to do so. But we have the unbelief to say, well, we'll just pray for it. Versus really believing in the fact that we could change the world right here, starting with us. You see, if the devil's attacking, you have allowed him access, and it's time to humble ourselves to Jesus and ask for help and stretch our arms in prayer and just begin this moment in purpose, real purpose, through prayer. And so I'm going to give you some verses. Some of you, this will be the only verse you see this week, I bet, because statistics don't lie. They just don't. There's some great Barner research that says literally 2 out of every Christian out of 10 have a true relationship with God daily in prayer. 2 out of 10. That's a failing grade. Let me give you something. James 4:7. It says, if we humble ourselves before God, and it says, resist the devil. He will flee from you. So what's around you right now, if you feel like it's attacking you, and you're like, well, you don't understand my story. No, I do. Because you've allowed access from the devil to be around you, and you haven't commanded him to get away from you. And in James 4:8, it just simply says, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. And he's talking about God. This is the brother of Jesus, y'all. But it says something there at the very beginning. If we humble ourselves. Can I just speak to the men for 1 second? You already know where I'm going. It's gonna hurt. Amen. This word called pride will kill you, and it will kill the church. You want to stifle every revival, every movement of God, and everything out there that has to do with the life of God? Your pride will get in the way. Enough said. Marriage is money, life, anything that's out there in our circles. We have to submit first by humbling ourselves so the devil can't have access. The demons around you who are screaming and screeching and causing cuts, causing depression, causing marriages to go astray, causing your finances to run wild in a direction that shouldn't be, that honor God. You got to humble and say, I need help. I can't do this alone anymore, God. I've tried and I failed over and over and over again. The reason why you're sitting in that same sin is because you never asked for help. You only prayed prayers of little Timmy to get better versus praying big, bold prayers. God, I can't do this without you. 1 Peter 5:6, it says, humble yourself. Humble yourself under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. You've heard this verse before. 1 Peter 5:7. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares for you, or cast all your cares upon him. You've heard that. But 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourself. 1 John 5:14. I love this verse. And we start to understand, and we are humble, and we're walking in truth, we're walking in life. It says, we are confident that he hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases him. We know he's going to do it because it honors him. And we're submitting. God, we're submitting. Philippians 4:6. Don't worry about anything, but instead pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done. Colossians 4:2. Devote yourself to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. James 5:16. Here it comes, guys. This is for everybody in the room and those online. Listen up. James 5:16. Brother Jesus here speaking. Confess your sins to each other and pray for one another so you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Romans 12:12, Apostle Paul throwing it down one more time. Rejoice in our confidence of hope. Be patient in trouble, no matter what the lightning bolts look around you, but be patient and fruitful in talking to me. In that moment of despair, listen and just keep on praying. Keep on praying. As you walk, talk to me. As you sit, talk to me. As you literally drive down the street, talk to me. Because I want to be a part of you. In Acts 4:29, one of the boldest prayers that ever was presented in the gospel. Matter of fact, it was the first one after Jesus left. Acts 4:29-30 says, they prayed for boldness, and they stretched out their arms with healing power, miraculous signs, and wonders done only through Jesus. Only through Jesus. So this is my push cause some tension in the room. If they did it, why aren't we? Men, can I push you? Women, you're not off the hook. But men, especially if you're married, why is the last time that you ran to the altar with your spouse is when you said, I do? Really got quiet in here, so that means I'm stepping on somebody's toes. When was the last time you ran to the altar with with your bride? Was it when you said, I do? Because that was a glorious moment, and the doors open wide, and she come down all white and glorious. Everybody turned center attention. Wah, 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 wah. And you're just on your knees. Whew, this is good. Shouldn't that be a weekly thing? More like a daily thing? 1 Timothy 2:8, man. It says, in every place of worship, I want men to pray with holy hands lifted up to God. Men. It's cool to worship and sing and get into it. But it's saying, in every place of worship, I want men to pray with holy hands lifted up, because you need to start praying bold prayers that only God can do. And you want to see a place filled up? You better start praying up. You want to see life change? You really want to see life change? You might consider your purpose. You might consider your purpose, what it looks like to live, work, and play around people, and start praying for them in ways that only God can get the credit for. You see, you need to be stretched today. Why don't you pray a prayer that only God can get the credit for? Why don't you begin right now, where you're at, beginning a prayer, whatever's going through this little thing from ear to ear, whatever it is. You already know it is, because the Holy Spirit is putting that moment right here, right now, in your brain. And maybe it's for you to know Him intimately for the first time. And maybe it's to pray for your spouse or your kids in a way that literally you're unashamed. Romans 1:16, I am unashamed of the gospel because I know I can't do it anymore. The most beautiful moments that I've watched over the last decade is when people, broken people, light up. You know why? Because they have nowhere else to turn. It's like my kid asking for those little, during 4th of July, you know, those little breakable things, those neon lights things, you know, they light up. Glow sticks, thank you. Brain fart right there. Sorry. Distraction. But a glow stick. It's not working, Daddy. It's not working. Hang on. Give it to me. Give it to the Father. And I break it. And his eyes lit up. And I said, whoa, check this out. And I break it again, and I break it again, and it's just starting to glow. And I look over, the next time you know, he's just breaking all of them. And he's just lit up. You ever seen a broken person light up? Somebody's been praying over him. Who you're praying over? You know what I mean? You know how many grandmamas I got? That's a Kentucky term. I got so many grandmamas from Baptist churches to Pentecostal churches to literally Methodist churches that know who I am. And they pray over me weekly. Some of them committed to praying over me daily, because you know why? Because I'm going to face the pits of hell, and the devil's going to throw everything at me. And I got people literally from sea to shining sea praying over me, because they know what's about to go down in Danville, Kentucky. We have big roles to fill. And they're asking us to pray and ask God to lead the way, because it's not about us or our agenda. It's about God's agenda to command evil to flee. And if we do that well, we will find our purpose through a rubber band. And you'll go light up the world. You'll go light up the world. You'll change everything. So men, 1 John 5:14, it says, we are confident, women, we are confident when we present this stuff to God, that we know He will hear us. The backside of that verse, and this is it, verse 15. Since we know this, He hears us, and when we make our requests, we also know that He will give us what we ask for. What are you asking for? This ain't the Santa Claus list. This ain't the birthday list. This is you and the one who put stars and light in motion. This is the one who can change lives. This is the one that can bring death to life. This is the one that can cast out anything that's not of him and change you from unbelief to belief. So I don't know what's about to happen, but I do know this. Remember I said the team was praying before we even got going? So we've been in a spirit of prayer since about 10 o'clock this morning, asking the Father to do something only he can get the credit for. So for what happens next, it's not me. It's not the words. It has nothing to do with the worship team. It has to do with the Holy Spirit getting ready to radically change somebody's life. And I don't know who it is or what it is, but this is what I'm going to ask. I don't know if y'all are comfortable doing this or not. Is God moving in your life right now? Raise your hand. Let's go. Look around. There they are. Second question is going to be simple. Men, are you going to sit there? Or are you going to start to fill up this altar? And that's not a coercion of a movement. It's just asking to be humble and move. And say, I can't do it alone. Women, it's up to you too. And if we do this well, we get to see the world change. We're going to sing a song. Let me pray for us and let's do this and watch God move. Jesus, we love you. It says in my Bible, it says the word will not return void. And I pray well that the word has been proclaimed in your name. God, I just ask that whatever's in here that's not of you, it flees. Whatever needs to be removed from our hearts that keeps us from experiencing you more, may it move. Jesus, I pray for the marriages that are just on, that are struggling, that are just literally on thread right now. They won't admit it. You already know it, though. That's why you said confess our sin. And sometimes our sin is our doubt, knowing that you can heal it. And you alone can heal it. God, maybe it's finances. I don't know. Maybe it's a kid that's radically hooked on drugs. Stepping into stuff that's not of you online. Whatever it is, Lord, I just command it in your name to get out of here. May this church be a light and a beacon. May the people in here start to change what they care about so they can be changed agents of atmosphere. Lord, we love you. But we got to move. We got to move.